This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hello. I'm John Potter. I'm old. I'm an old man. Get off my lawn. Although I never walk on my lawn. I don't want you on my lawn.
I got to answer this text. John, if you... Darn screen. Hold on a sec. John, if you don't want to give God the credit, I will. Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I did give him credit. You are saying the exact opposite. I said this is a grand design that we're living in with these human bodies. My discussion with Derek Lee, and I said it has to be from another otherworldly genius scientist entity, and that is God. And I did give God the credit. Excuse me. I just didn't want to delve into religion at that moment because we're talking, of course, health with Derek, and he has his time. Well, in the Carson City studio, we have quite the appearance. She just showed up, I believe, Craig, the widow of the Silver Terrace.
Hello, John.
Hello. Hello.
How are you? It's good to be back again.
Is it, what widow? What country do you come from?
Well, actually, it's Ireland, darling.
Is it really?
Yes.
The widow is here. She was here last year to tell us about the upcoming Halloween time, 25th annual. It's 25 years, I think, now.
25 years.
Annual Silver Terrace Cemetery Tour.
A cemetery tour, yes. Mm-hmm.
You visitors to Virginia City's Silver Terrace Cemetery will hear stories from the dead portrayed by actors from Funtime Theater as 19th century Comstockers. Widow, is that a word, Comstockers? Can people say I'm a Comstocker?
Sure, why not?
Now, somebody, I don't know who, or maybe it was a ghost, the way this is written, wrote that your cemetery tour is the time of day, usually when visitors leave Virginia City, but one evening the fading sunlight fell on about a dozen people dressed in turn-of-the-century clothes. Is that going to happen again?
Well, no. We have to do a daytime show because of the way the cemetery is. It's hilly and in lots of rocks and stones.
Oh, okay.
And it is a walking tour. So we have to be conscious of the safety of our guests.
We don't want any residents, new residents.
I don't need any new residents right now.
No. Oh, no room.
Well, there's a little room left, but not right now.
And you're all dressed in turn-of-the-century clothes?
Well, of course, that's what we wore when we were alive.
And can I call you all actors? I mean, you're from a theater company.
Yes.
Okay, so these actors, they make it a reality as they play the spirits of prominent Virginia City residents who are buried in the cemetery.
Yes.
What do y'all talk about when the visitors come up and see you during this tour?
Well, the residents tell them about their life and death in the 1800s. And people seem to be very interested in it. It's kind of like a little history tour, but we make it fun.
So you tell the modern folk about just telling stories about everyday life.
Yes.
In a mining town.
Yes, we have two gentlemen that played miners. They give you different stories about the mining. Both were killed in the mines. We have Charlotte Kruchnet, who was married to the Story County Assessor. She died in a stagecoach accident. It tipped over and she was pushed out of it and her head went into the wheel and it killed her there. Dr. Kirby, he died of rheumatoid arthritis. It went into his heart and killed him. And yes, different
these
things.
These are real stories.
Yes.
And they talk about their lives in the first person.
Yes.
To the visitors. And there's so much, Widow, there's so much to talk about here. The mining towns, the firefighting, there were all these fires because houses were all wood. And the medical care, the challenges women faced, and of course men too. It was not easy for anyone back then, but still.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of children buried in the cemetery as well. Life expectancy was very hard for the children. And we talk a little bit about that too.
But still, you look back and, I mean, they were in some ways golden days, you know, a real sense of community back then.
Yes.
Widow, what about you? What do you remember? And who are you exactly?
Well, I'm not a single person. I actually represent all the widows of the cemetery.
Oh, I see.
I try to welcome everybody, and we tell them about the cemetery itself, how it used to be. Actually, the cemeteries from the 1800s are the predecessors for today's parks, because the cemetery was the only place that was green and had trees for shade, and people would go there and have picnics with their loved ones that were buried.
Yeah, I kind of remember, you see, I'm old. I kind of remember when the cemetery was looked upon as kind of a park.
Yes.
You know, people on a Sunday after church, they would stroll through. The grounds were usually beautiful and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned the welcome, how you welcome people on the cemetery tour. You and the caretaker meet the visitors at the gate,
yes,
and you tell them about the cemetery in Life, Virginia City.
Yes.
Tell us about the caretaker.
Oh, that's Thomas Wilson. He was with Wilson and Brown. They were undertakers back in the late 1880s. And they have their own section in the cemetery. The cemetery is actually several different sections of cemeteries. There's different groups that have their own section. At the very top of the hill is the Masonic section. As you come down the hill, it's the Odd Fellows. Next to the Odd Fellows is the Wilson and Brown. Across the little road from the Odd Fellows is the West End, where the Protestants buried their people. And across from them is the firemen section, where our firefighters. And you get to meet George Hanbridge there. That's where the firefighters are laid to rest. Way, way in the back on the hill is the Catholic section. And the one thing that really excited me was that the foundation, the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, was able to get ground-penetrating radar, and they found the cemetery of the orphans.
Oh, my goodness.
On the far side of the Catholic section, and we have two Sisters of Charity buried there with them.
This all starts October 4th, folks.
Now, yes.
Now, after this welcome, so they follow you, and you go through the cemetery,
mm-hmm,
and then as you pass by a grave, you see they have the actors, they're all waiting at the graves, they're waiting, and when the visitors approach the person who's at his or her grave, they come to life, and they start talking. Is that how it works?
Yes, well, we greet them. With one exception, of course, there's always one woman who has to be an exception, and that's Lavinia. Lavinia is awake before we get there, and as we're approaching, she's hollering, "Hurry it up, I haven't got all day," you know. And she's kind of quite the character.
An impatient.
Impatient.
Dead person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But most of our residents will wait until I or Brianna will go and say their name or touch them, and that'll bring them to life, and they'll tell you about their lives.
Now, these people, they look deep into the biographies of the people that they represent. And who are exactly the people? Well, you mentioned a couple of the people who are we're going to meet at this cemetery tour. And folks, if you've been to this in other years, the people, you know, the change, you don't make it the same thing every year. You move things around a bit. What's different this year?
This year, on the first Saturday, Foster will not be there, but we do have a new character, which is Ernest Warren, and his family owned a mercantile in town, and you can actually see their name on the building. It's now a restaurant, Rio something, and it has Warren Mercantile on the stonework outside the building. So you can actually see where his store was. And he's going to tell you about his father and his mother.
Some are happy stories. Some are tragic.
They're all kind of tragic because they all died. But we do have a couple of fun characters. You have to. You can't have all just death. You have to have some fun in there. Like I said, Lavinia is yelling at you before you even get to her. Mm. She follows over to the fireman section. And occasionally we have a visitor by someone who's not actually buried there. Her name is Julia Boulette.
Oh, my gosh. I was about to ask you if Julia Boulette was going to be there to talk to people.
More than likely she will, because she likes to come down and visit in the firemen. You know, she was made an honorary firefighter.
Well, you are such a good Comstocker, and thank goodness for you and your team preserving the memories. I have to take a break. Widow, please stick around a few more minutes. I want to know how the cemetery is doing now. You know, I was heartbroken when I had to report the vandalism there. It was like 2 months ago.
Yes.
Some Friday night, several headstones and graves were vandalized. It looked terrible. I want to talk to you about that. And also some of the great things people are going to see on this tour, the graveyard tour. And it's more than one day. We'll get into that.
All right.
Can you hang in there?
Sure.
You don't have to go back to the other world right away, do you?
Not yet, no.
Okay, you guys have all the time in the world. 10:18 is our time. You hang in there, Widow, okay?
Okay.
Hang in there. Okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:18.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
We're speaking to the afterlife for one more segment. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Okay, I looked it up, Widow.
Yes.
It was July 25th. Several headstones, graves were vandalized at the Silver Terrace Cemetery in VC.
Yes.
I heard it was really bad. Last I heard, the Story County Sheriff offered $3,000 asking for people to tell him who did it. Did we ever catch the bums?
I have not heard if we've caught them or not, but the damage was mostly done in the Masonic section. And fortunately, the repair work didn't fall completely on the foundation themselves. Mm. They had several volunteers come up and help to repair the stones.
God bless them.
So a lot of them are done already and repaired.
But even before that, a lot has to be done at the Silver Terrace Cemetery. I mean, the return of items that have been removed from cemetery, that's a problem at every cemetery. And judging from the yellow caution tape and the rundown condition of some of the graves, the foundation, your foundation has its work cut out. There's still plenty of restoration that has to be done.
Definitely. We had a stone returned from a church in California. They contacted the foundation and said, we have this stone and we believe it belongs to you guys there in Virginia City. So it was brought back, and lo and behold, it was the stone from a gravesite in the Gold Hill Cemetery, which they also take care of. It was for some little boys who had died, and the stone was stolen, and the foundation had pictures of it. So they went ahead and made a new stone and put it up. Well, when the original stone came back, what they found out is not only were the two boys on the front of the stone, but there were four children on the back.
Good Lord.
So there was actually six of them buried in this plot. And we had a good, nice big ceremony to put the original stone back.
Tickets are $15 adults, $10 for children and seniors. And the win of the funds go to help restore and do this work at the Silver Terrace Cemetery in Virginia City. Seniors, $10. And this is next Saturday.
Yes.
And Sunday.
Saturday, right. 4 and 5. We're going to skip a weekend and do the 18th and 19th. The weekend in between, the cemetery is going to be closed because the foundation's owner, her son is getting married at Piper's, and the family's all moving in, or coming in, not moving in, but coming in RVs and things. So they're parking them down at the cemetery. So the cemetery will be closed the second weekend in October.
Okay.
But we will do the first and third weekend. So 4, 5, 18, and 19.
Well, thank you, Widow. And I hear that there's a living human next to you. So we're going to talk to her. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Widow. Can you make just one spooky sound?
One spooky sound?
As you're leaving.
Oh, I don't know, but I never made spooky sounds before.
do something like that.
Ooh. Was that good enough?
That was great.
All right, you want to talk to Kathy?
Yeah, I want to talk to Kathy.
Okay, yeah. It's your turn. Come on over here. I'm coming. Hi,
Hello,
John.
Kathy. Hello, dear. Well, you have quite a character there with you.
Yes.
Look at the friends that hang out with you.
Oh, yeah. Now, I got some strange friends, but you know what? Well, it makes a fun time.
before I get to what you do, I heard, and I wasn't going to ask the widow this because it might have offended her, I heard there are occasions at that cemetery where strange things do happen.
During the shows, yeah.
Well, I guess. I don't during the shows or just people going to the cemetery, they'll see a gate open by itself.
Yeah, Thomas Wilson's site has a fence and a gate. And I can't tell you how many times he's been in there telling us his story, and the gate'll open.
Yeah.
And then he'll be just about finished and the gate'll close. You know, that happens a lot. The widow tends to have butterflies land on her, and they just come and land on her hat.
Well, it has that reputation. It really does.
Yeah.
But I hear the gate is the big thing. People do see the gate open by itself.
Well, that's Thomas is standing up front.
You've seen it more than once, right?
And the gate's in the back. So, yeah, it happens a lot.
Well, tell us what the widow did not tell us. Anything more we have to know about this? This is starting next Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Then comes back.
10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. show. And as she said, we have to do it during the day for safety reasons.
Right. It's hilly and uneven because people could fall.
Exactly.
You can get
your tickets at funtimetheater.com.
Now, we don't want to make it all level because we want to keep it historic and how it was.
Oh, yeah.
So you do keep it hilly and uneven. Now, the actors.
Yes.
Don't they wish they could wear their pioneer clothes all the time?
Actually, some of them do. they seem to really enjoy their costuming.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I'd love coming in here with a top hat and a cape. That would be awesome.
Unfortunately, no one can see you, though, John.
The wonderful thing about the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, you are a nonprofit organization collecting donations to help protect and restore cemetery sites and old photographs, too.
Yes.
And you also help get that stolen cemetery stuff
back.
Back. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that is still a problem, huh?
Oh, it's, yeah, people steal things. And
that's horrendous.
But they are, they do have recently put up cameras in the cemetery itself. And so I think they did get some film of the people that did the damage there.
I'm more interested in using the cameras to catch the ghost stuff.
Well, they're not Ghostbusters up there, but...
Yeah, they have other things to do. Well, anything else you want to say, Kathy, about this? I'll repeat the times again. It's next Saturday and Sunday, and also on the 18th and 19th, the graveyard tour starts at 10 a.m., and there's another one at 1 p.m.
It's
$15 for adults, $10 children and seniors. Do you just show up with your cash, or can you buy tickets in advance?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
Where do
you
people
can buy
go
your
online?
Ticket, funtimetheater.com, and you can buy your tickets there, or you can just come on out and buy tickets at the house. There's a little house that we use for our green room. So, yeah, you can either way. We are doing something else that's a lot of fun, if I can talk about that.
Sure, yeah. Got a minute.
We are doing a murder mystery on the train in Virginia City tonight.
No. Tonight?
Yep. There's a 6 You're o'clock show and a 7:30 show.
A murder mystery.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have another person to bury.
I'm going to have another resident. Yep. And for those tickets, you go to virginiatruckee.com, and you want the Virginia Truckee Railroad site, not the railway site, the railroad site to get those tickets. And it's called Mafia Murder.
Oh, my.
And it's set in the 20s. So if you can come out in your best 20s outfit, that would be great. I think, and it's a lot of fun. We take the train, we get on the train in Virginia City at the depot, and we go all the way to Gold Hill. And on that way out, somebody's going to die.
Isn't that fun?
And then on the way back, you have to figure out how it happened. And we give prizes.
Kathy, you folks have a lot of fun, and
we do.
I love this way of restoring and bringing back the love of history, and thank you. Have a wonderful, successful cemetery tour in Virginia City.
Thank you.
All right. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, John.
All right. Kathy, take care. We're going to break for Fox News, and local news with Greg Neft is up next. Be back in a short while. I'm John Potter, live and local 9 to noon, Saturdays, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 10:32.
Live streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, good morning.
Folks, you are invited to the governor's mansion for dinner, raffles. Lombardo is going to sing. No, not really.
Wouldn't that be something?
But it is a big event coming up on October 17th, less than 3 weeks away. It is called the Spirit of Hope's Giving Hope event. Ellen, where at the governor's mansion are we doing this?
It is in the room that is designed for all
events. The event room.
Yes.
That
right
is
next
so
to
cool.
the mansion, yes.
Have you done this event before?
Not there. Not there. And this is our first year for this fundraiser.
I love that mansion.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's beautiful.
And as we come up to Halloween, I always think back to when the kids rang the doorbell and, oh my gosh, look at him. The governor himself would open the door and dole out the candy. And I think that's been brought back, you know, on some years. But I remember in the ancient 1970s, when you wanted to see the governor, you would go there and knock on the door and Governor List, he was there when I was, when I was here in the 70s, and he would answer the door. Can you imagine? Not even a guard or a person to open the door for him. And I tell people this story, and they don't believe me. All right, anyway. So your big event with dinner and raffles at the mansion.
Yes.
What is it for?
We are raising not only more awareness of what Spirit of Hope does in our community, but also funds, much needed funds. As you know, being a nonprofit is sometimes feast or famine. And we have been suffering from the rising costs of electricity, gas, housing. We have 14 houses in Carson City and that whole area, and we rent every single one of them.
Folks, this is Spirit of Hope. You're in Carson.
Yes.
And you are fighting the homeless situation in the capital city.
Yes.
You're a nonprofit dedicated to using a housing first approach to the homeless. You have a what your website calls a clean, sober living model of communal living. Tell us about yes. that, please.
All right. Well, housing first, yes. Our model is a little bit of a spin off of that because we are clean and sober living. And we take that very seriously. And clean and sober means no marijuana, just because it's legal, and no alcohol. A lot of our folks will say, well, it's legal too. Yes, it is, but not in our homes and on our property. We need to have that stability. We work with folks who have mental illnesses and co-occurring disorders, which means they have a mental illness as well as an addiction. So to be in our homes, they have to be stable. So they need to be working on their sobriety and on medications to help keep them stable. And that's because it's group living. And so we have up to 6 people living in each home, sometimes 7 if we have somebody on a couch.
My stereotype tells me that they'd rather be on the street.
Well,
I mean, if they can't right. drink, if they can't use right. drugs, and this is why, you know, we build these huge centers like Reno has. And I've talked to many, did stories with a lot of homeless people, but
sure.
there is a percentage that it just you can't reach. How do you get through that?
Well, we offer a little bit of leverage, you see, because if we do have somebody who comes on board to a Spirit of Hope home, mm-hmm. and they are found to be drinking or using, we give them the opportunity of, okay, this is the leverage. Would you love to have this beautiful home and the environment that we create, the folks that you're living with? People become like family to one another, and Spirit of Hope becomes a family to our folks. You know, we do a lot of case management, etc. So we offer them, what would you like? Would you like to continue living on the streets in your addiction or your mental health illness, being untreated? Or would you like a home and be stable and have a future, have a quality of life? And it is surprising to me sometimes through the 11 years we've been doing this, there are those folks. I had a gentleman tell me one time, you know, Mrs. Jackson, I'm so thankful for this home, but I have a really hard time living in four walls. I think I'd rather go back to living under the bridge in Reno. And to that, you have to let them make that decision. So it becomes their choice. But through the years, we have so many men and women that have chosen to have a life that is stable, and that they're not freezing in the winter time. And I had one lady years ago say she felt like a real human being again because she could have the paper delivered to her doorstep.
You are passionate, which tells me
yes,
that
sir.
For certain people this works.
Yes, it does. It really does. We've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks through the years. There are people who, you know, they would rather, they're not ready yet. They're not ready to give up their addiction. They're not ready to be stable on medication that would chemically balance their brain so they're not walking in that mental illness. So those are the ones that we keep, and we lovingly call them our keepers. We are transitional housing as well as permanent housing.
So, okay, how's this work? You said you have 14 homes?
Yes.
14 homes around Carson City. You serve 50 to 70 adults at any time.
Yes.
And so are the homeless housed in these residences as a group, or do they get a single residency at this? And how do you find the houses? too. Tell me the story, how this works.
Yes, so in the very beginning, 2014, with this model of care that we came up with, my husband has helped me. He's a psychiatric caseworker, worked for NAMS for years, social work. He found that there was a need, and that's kind of how I spilled into it. And I thought, I never in a million years thought I would ever be doing this, but I absolutely love people. And anyway, we have homes. They're not houses, they're homes. And I started with one and realized that there was more of a need.
When you say started with one, did you buy the house?
Rented.
Oh, you rent these houses?
Yes, I did.
Well, how do you find a landlord that would rent houses to homeless?
It is called networking. And also building a really wonderful reputation of care of the home and caring for the people in the home. And not just renting a home and throwing people in there and hoping that it works, but really having the oversight.
Okay, oversight. Do you have like a house mom? Or do you go, somebody from your organization check the house out every day or every week? Or
right.
How does the...
In the very beginning, yeah. It was me. I was everything. I unstopped toilets and cleaned messes off the floor and sometimes even cooked meals for our folks that just really couldn't fend for themselves.
Oh,
so I worked
God.
A lot of hours, many 12, 13-hour days in the very beginning. It was really hard. But it was a labor of love, and I realized that as the years went on, there was just still more of a need, more of a need. There were so many elderly individuals that were falling through the cracks in society, and they didn't really meet the criteria for a nursing home. So where do they go? They're on Social Security income. They cannot afford, even back in 2014, they really couldn't afford to live on their own. They couldn't really care for themselves. So the model of care kind of developed through the years, and at one point I realized, one home, I could have another home, I could help six more people.
Oh my gosh.
So let's go for it. And so I just developed relationships and rapports with all the agents that I've been working with all these years. And because we pay our rent on time and we make sure the homes are clean and the yards are great. So that is our reputation in town. So just built and built and built.
So you're an angel. Got it. And you basically overcome skepticism.
Yes.
Like you're overcoming mine. You've seen this work. Can you give me some examples? I mean, you're not going to use names.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much to say.
Take a person and tell me their story.
All right. I have a gentleman just recently that I really love to share about. He actually made a visit to a Board of Supervisors meeting in Carson City a couple of months ago. And they allow for public comment, right? So he decided that he would be that one person with his walker to publicly comment on the need for housing. There's such a shortage of housing that folks on his financial end can afford, right?
Is this a homeless gentleman?
Yes. At the time he was homeless. He was actually sleeping on his wife's grave in the cemetery.
Oh, my gosh.
And he came and he said, hello, I can't find housing. And everybody there realized, okay, here is one of the needs of our community right in front of us. So that morning alone, I received four phone calls. Elliot, can you please take this gentleman? And I thought after four phone calls, maybe I should.
From the commissioners?
From everybody.
Okay.
From
so
other agencies in
where
town.
Where is this gentleman now?
He's with us. And
with us?
What? Yes, he's with Spirit of Hope.
Oh, he works in your organization?
No, he's a resident now.
Oh, he's
so he went from homeless.
And he's doing well.
He's doing well. Come to find out, he's just an avid drinker of alcohol. So we had a little bit of an issue in the beginning when his walker was picked up to be put in our van and a bunch of little 99 proof banana and peach bottles fell out.
Oh my gosh.
And
things.
We thought, okay, we didn't really know much about him when we received him. We kind of took him just at first glance. And that's what Spirit of Hope does. We give everybody a chance to make it or break it. And so when he was drinking on the property and very clearly drunk in the home one day, we sat him down, and my husband is actually a drug and alcohol counselor, so we kind of sent him over there to intervene. But we all rallied around this gentleman, and we said, okay, so you're drunk right now. You're not going to be able to reason with what we're trying to explain to you about home, street. here's your decision, or inpatient program. And he said, oh, I've been to too many of those. They don't help. Well, you know, you never know. It could be the 10th time you're at an inpatient or the 15th time. At some point, it's going to stick, and you're going to decide that this way of life is no longer conducive to health. You know, he has some bad health. Well, we have him in an outpatient program, and he is being monitored very closely by our staff as well as that staff of the agency. We randomly test him. So far, so good. He decided to stay.
So it's a success story, but you're keeping your eye on him.
Yes.
How old is he? What age?
He's in his late 60s.
Oh, my gosh. You see, by that point, you can't change.
Usually it's very hard, but you would be amazed.
Exactly. The patterns are set and such. Okay, I got to take a break here, and then we're going to talk about the fun event that we're selling tickets to at the Governor's Mansion. Thank you, Ellen, if you can stick around a few minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm Chad Potter, live and local, back for a short segment with Ellen about how to go to the Governor's Mansion. Are some of your clients that you help, are they going to be there?
Yes, we're going to
You should make them be waiters and stuff, right?
Actually, they use the prisoners to serve.
Do they? Oh,
yes,
that's
they
right. The mansion does.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be right back, folks. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:51.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. I'm John Potter with Ellen Jackson, the founder and executive director of Spirit of Hope. Oh, wow. You're from Tonopah.
Yes.
How was growing up like in Tonopah?
Jumping over rattlesnakes, throwing rocks down mines that were separated. You were separated by three strands of barbed wire. We would throw rocks down trying to see if we could hear them touch the bottom. When my parents found out in later years, you could just imagine.
Well, we love hometown pizza. We love the Mexican restaurant that needs a new sign. We love the Bug Bar on the Hill, and the Best Western is the best Western and all of the Best Westerns in the world. Do you ever go back?
Drive through.
You drive through. Oh, my
gosh.
Well,
we go back,
Ellen,
up to my childhood home and see how it has changed, you know, and we have stories of riding our sleds from the top of the hill all the way down to Main Street and hoping we stop before we go to Main Street. We'd crash.
The big event is October 17th. Doors open at 5:30 at the Governor's Mansion. Dinner, prizes, and good cheer is just a couple of weeks away. Get your tickets, $85. You can buy them online just like everything else in the world. How do folks score their tickets, Ellen?
Well, we have Zephy, and that is there's a link you can set your phone to, and on our flyers as well as on our website, and then you can buy tickets at the door, but hopefully not at the door because we only have room for 160 people. And so we want to be able to accommodate everybody. We have two guest speakers. They are former residents of Spirit of Hope.
No kidding. Oh, that's great.
Little video from when they first came to us, why they came to us, how they came to us. And then now they're going to be giving their testimony, a little short testimony.
God bless
you. So it's
going
to be really nice.
So when you say online, make it simple. Can I Google Spirit of
Hope?
Yeah, can I Google Spirit of Hope, and that will take me to your webpage where you can buy the tickets?
Yes.
Okay, that's simple.
Absolutely.
Is this the first time you've done this event?
At the Governor's Mansion, yes, and also this particular event, yes, sir.
What's for dinner?
The Olive Garden.
I love our Olive Garden.
We have wonderful pastas. There's several choices.
Oh, yes.
Bread sticks, the salad, of course, and then yummy dessert.
And raffles, and I always marvel at the hard work great groups like yours go through to get these items donated for events.
Sir.
I've done it in the past myself. It's hard work. What prizes can people win at this event?
We have some really lovely baskets that we are putting together with wine and gosh, we're still working
on it. Wine with all those
yes.
homeless...
The wine baskets. The previous, we did a spring fundraiser with the Elks Lodge in Carson City, and they were so gracious to have us there, and we actually maxed out their seating capacity, which is another reason why we decided, let's go to the Governor's Mansion. But we had 30-plus raffle prizes, which was way too much for the period of time that we were having our fundraiser.
How many do you have this time?
Well, we're going for about 12 or 13.
That's good. That's
yeah.
good. Well, okay. Have a wonderful time at this event.
Thank you.
Watch those wine bottles. You got to guard them. It's, actually, it's not that funny.
We're actually giving free wine and beer to our patrons, the folks who come. They get that as well. And, you know, we don't want it to be a drunken fest, but beer and wine is very nice, don't you think?
I do. Spirit of Hope's Giving Hope event. That's the name of it, right?
Yes.
Giving Hope.
Yes,
I love that. That's such a great, the name of the whole organization, Spirit of Hope. You are an amazing person.
Well,
Ellen Jackson.
Thank you for saying that.
Former model was going to be a veterinarian, and now she's doing the Lord's work.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thanks, Ellen. It was such a pleasure meeting
you. Thank you so much for
having us. It's good to know people like you are out there for us in Northern Nevada. I'm John Potter, breaking for Fox News. Be back in a short while. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:58.